Man podcast. And now I'm at Peninsula LA. I have the pleasure to have this fabulous Jackie Beats with me. And Jackie, can you tell the audience about your journey, about yourself?
My journey? Well, it was over an hour drive here. Is that the journey you're talking about?
Yes.
My journey. I love
your
that word. Well, I am a drag performer. I always say I'm drop-dead gorgeous, larger-than-life, world-famous drag superstar Jackie Beat. And I've been performing for over 35 years before, you know, Drag Race, the television program starring RuPaul. Before that, and before it went kind of mainstream, there used to be about 6 or 7 of us.
Oh, only 6 or 7?
Well, I'm just saying there were 6 or 7 drag stars like me, Lady Bunny, Sherry Vine, Varla Jean Merman, Coco Peru. So if there was a part in a movie or, you know, a big gay pride celebration, or they wanted a drag queen to come to Europe, you know, for a party, it was us. And now there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
I love drag queens. I've always loved drag queens' performances.
I hate them. No, I'm just kidding.
How did you decide that you want to be a drag queen?
Well, I think it's sort of a rite of passage, or it used to be back in the day, again, before I knew that.
Never mind.
I know. You said you only wear one. Punky,
yeah, you
funky.
Have too many diamonds on your earrings. You're too glamorous.
I'm too creative. Those earrings were not earrings. They were actually part of a necklace that I took apart, and then I made them into earrings. So it's my own fault.
You are creative.
Well, let me explain.
You're artistic and creative.
Back in the day before Drag Race and before, like, drag was mainstream, gay men, you know, on Halloween would dress up and go to West Hollywood. Yeah. And I did it with my friends, and I kind of did it with a different attention to detail, if you will. Like, we all dressed up, and they thought it was funny, and I was, like, trying to look good. And I had, you know, fingernails and, you know.
So you have a total look even during that time.
Yeah. And then I kind of dawned on me that when you're in drag, you're neither male nor female, but you're kind of both, and people don't take what you say very seriously, so you can sneak in political stuff. You can pretty much say whatever you want. The world has changed.
People are very sensitive these days.
I kind of found my voice.
But, you know, to be a drag, yes, you put your costumes, you put everything together, and you drag. But it's not just that, because you write and you can rap. And this morning I've been spending time looking at your YouTube video. Mm-hmm. My God, you really can write the lyrics and you rap so well. So
well, thank you.
So you can't just dress up like a drag and going out. You are actually a performer and also writer as well.
Well, some people can just dress up, and, you know, if you're on TV and you have the catchphrase, you know, people get excited to see somebody that they've seen on TV. But I always say, can you pick this performer up and put them in a completely different venue with an audience that doesn't even know who they are, has never seen them on TV, and can they be entertaining? And a lot of these new drag queens, they can't. I sing live.
You're funny.
I'm in the Writers Guild. I've been in movies. Like, I'm an entertainer, and I study.
And you're very quick. Whenever people give you an interview, you just answer, just like, you know. And it's funny. It's hysterical.
And then, I mean, again.
And you're fabulous.
And so, thank you. I don't want to gloss over all that. But a lot of these drag queens today, and I know this is going to sound like I'm bitter, but they can't even put a sentence together. It's like you are an entertainer. Like, what is going on here?
Maybe they just want to look pretty.
I think that's a part of it. I think it's like YouTube, social media. You know, and they put filters. Listen, I use filters. I use a coffee filter. I use a used coffee filter. That's how I look so good on social media. But no, I mean, I feel like I've studied theater, and I'm a writer, and yeah, I'm just very proud that, you know, I can sing rock and roll. Like you said, I can rap.
Yes, you can rap. I saw you rapping 2 videos. My God, you rap well. And also those words are so satirical.
Dirty? No.
Dirty. Some of them is It's funny. You're talking about penises. There's one.
Yes, that's a huge part of my act. No pun intended. I keep looking at this camera, but this is actually my camera.
Yeah.
At a certain age, the side view isn't so great. So let me focus on my camera. No, I kind of tap into that, the 12-year-old in everybody. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, that's nasty. That's naughty.
It's so naughty. Yeah.
And some people, you know, they think like, they'll be like, I want to go see your show. And I'm like, well, it's very dirty. And they're like, oh, I love it. But they have no idea. Like, I take it as a challenge because I've written hundreds of song parodies.
Why do you call yourself the world biggest bitch? Well, are you really the world biggest bitch? Come on.
I'm really not.
No. Out of
drag.
Exactly.
No, out of drag, I'm a total sweetheart.
Yeah. I love bitches anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun.
It's the character.
Interesting. It's all about interesting. I love bitches. So.
Yeah, I just think that I can get it all out in the character, and then in my real life, I can be nice.
So you have another personality to go out.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not too different than my own. Here's the thing. People don't realize comedy, when you really boil it down, is just focusing on the negative in a funny, creative way.
Yes.
We don't need to tell jokes about sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows.
No.
I need to tell jokes about some of the ugly stuff in the world.
Absolutely.
And I used to write for Joan Rivers. And Joan Rivers, nobody told Joan Rivers not to tell a Holocaust joke. And people would be laughing in spite of themselves. They'd be like, I don't want to laugh at this joke. This is about something horrible.
You used to also write for Margaret Cho, Elvira, and Rosie O'Donnell, right? And how was those collaboration like?
Well, I included Rosie O'Donnell on that list because I wrote a song for Roseanne.
Ah.
And Rosie O'Donnell to sing together called I Got You Bitch, which is the Sonny and Cher song I Got You Babe. And if I write one thing and you do it on stage, then you make it into my resume.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
But
yeah.
No, I love writing for... I always say I write for all the loudmouth bitches. You know, like Roseanne, Joan Rivers, you know, Margaret Cho, Sandra Bernhardt. Like, they're all just, I love a mouthy broad.
Wow. So when you were young,
Are you insinuating I'm not still young?
I'm talking about
I'm just kidding. Like
under 10 years old.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay.
So 20 years ago.
When you were a child.
Yes.
Did you go into your mother's closet and start stealing her clothes and start dressing up?
I honestly don't remember doing that, but I do remember they had in their bedroom, my mom and dad had a big old school dresser, and the top drawer was the skinny little one. That was like for cufflinks and like my mom's jewelry. And I used to kind of marvel at the jewelry. I don't remember actually putting clothes on or like walking around in her shoes, you know. But I did do impersonations, you know, of Cher.
Oh, really?
Well, I felt like I didn't need the outfit.
Mm-mm.
But I would do like Carol Burnett and, you know, Cher and, you know, just funny things.
Yeah.
And funny commercials, you know. And my brother and sister, who were older than me, they always kind of embraced it and knew that I was like a little entertainer and
because you loved performing since you were young.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, I've also talked about this before. My mom was also very depressed. So as the little gay boy, it was my job to make her laugh or make her smile and try to entertain her. And like, Mommy, don't be in a bad mood. Here, look, I'll be funny.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
But how did this... comedian streak of you came out.
Also, if you're...
Because you need to be really clever to write these comedy, you know, and very quick to answer questions. So is
ghost.
It...
Did you hear the ghost? Probably my mother saying, you better answer this question correctly. I'm the reason. No, listen, both my parents were very smart. Both my parents were very funny.
Oh, really?
Growing up in Scottsdale, Arizona in the 60s and 70s, my parents' best friends were a gay couple named Bob and Jim. So there was no shame, and it was very accepted. So as far as being funny, I think it's partly because I grew up with a sense of humor. And also not to, you know...
It takes a lot of confidence to have a sense of...
Well, if you're a little gay boy in Arizona, you get bullied. And you quickly learn if you make somebody laugh, they won't beat you up.
You can get away with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you really think that you want to have this profession?
Oh, I never in a million years would have guessed this.
No, right?
It really came from doing it that one Halloween.
Just one Halloween.
And then being like, oh my God, this is like a bottomless pit of creativity. And I say this often, you know, there's drag kings, which are women that dress like men. Mm. Now, whatever floats your boat, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. But one of the reasons I chose drag is because women in this society and in show business and everywhere get to express themselves more than men. Whether it's a, you know, like a torch song, you know, this very campy song, you know, all about, you know, how the man treating her wrong. Or it's hair and makeup and the outfit and the shoes and the jewelry. Like, there's so much more
that you can express.
That you can have fun with and express. Men have a wall of machismo. So if you're a drag king, and again, I've seen amazing drag kings, but to me, it's like Sinatra, Elvis, a rapper. It's about putting a wall up of machismo. And sometimes that's funny for a woman to be like this misogynistic, you know, sort of. But for me, I gravitate towards everything feminine, which is a little weird to say even out loud these days. What is feminine? It's all societal. When I'm online and somebody's saying like, oh my God, that little boy shouldn't be wearing that. You know, sometimes they'll have like a video of a little boy dressing up in like, you know, or in his mommy's heels.
Yeah.
People will be like, oh my God, that little boy. And I'm like, this is all fake, right? Yeah. You realize this is all man-made. Like we were not, like cavemen didn't wear pants.
Exactly.
Cavemen did not wear pants. At some point we decided this is what a man wears and this is what a woman wears. And then some people will complain and say like, oh, your drag is offensive to women.
Why?
And I'm like, what woman comes out of the womb with triple eyelashes and 2 hours of makeup?
Yeah.
This is more, this has nothing to do with an actual female.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think, you know, from young, I love watching a drag queen show. Love drag queens. Always.
And you got the best.
And I got you. You're fabulous.
Well, let me just say one thing regarding like that you've always loved drag queens.
Yeah.
There's a certain type of person in the world. I will never understand people who want less. Do you know what I mean? Like less color, less culture, less fun, less, you know what I mean? Like these people who are like build a wall. Now listen, this country is different than it was 150 years ago. Maybe we do need some new rules and we need to rethink things so we can actually take care of the people who are here.
Yeah.
But the people who use, can I say a bad word?
Of course you can.
Like for a politician to say shithole countries, like, do you have any idea? And I know what he's talking about. He's talking about like Mexico.
Yes.
Africa. Do you have any idea how amazing those cultures are and what they have given the world?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mexican culture is amazing.
Yes, so I don't understand these people who want less. Like, I want every kind of food. I want to taste every kind of food.
You're very adventurous.
Yes, yes. And I want all these different languages. If I walked into a restaurant and they, you know, you see these videos. Somebody's ordering a pizza and they're like, why is the TV on a Spanish... They start an argument. Like, it's not, first of all, they own the business. It's none of your business.
Yeah.
But I just like more. More different kinds of people. And there are people who are fearful of that.
You want differences. You want diversity. You want to learn.
How could you not celebrate diversity?
Of course.
You have one life. And you know what? Those people will, I always say this in my show. I'm like, if you're the type of person who believes in build a wall, then you don't even get to eat a taco. You don't even get to enjoy that culture at the simplest level.
How do you identify and the relationship between drags and LGBTQR+? How do you see this?
I do have a song. First of all, I have a song, LGBTQ and A.
Yeah.
There's an old song by Tammy Wynette. She's a country singer. And it's called Divorce, but she spells it out. And she goes, our D-I-V-O-R-C-E becomes final today. Well, I changed it to LGBTQ and A. Sounds desperate and sad. Like, because they keep adding letters. So I do have a song about that. But a while ago, I performed in Palm Springs. And there was a table of these brittle old white ladies.
Yeah. Wow. They're very conservative. Listen,
yes, because there are pockets of that. And I'm sure they thought they were seeing a drag queen who was going to lip sync Celine Dion. That's not me. So I was being very political and very in your face. And, you know, my songs are dirty. And if it's not dirty, it's, you know, political. So they just seemed really uncomfortable, and I went home, and you know the song from Sweet Charity, Hey Big Spender?
Yes, of course.
Well, I changed it to Straight Cisgender, and it was all about how, like, you can't come to a drag show and watch the clown and escape from your boring, miserable life and then go vote against me. I'm a gay man under all this. You know?
Absolutely.
And this whole thing about, like, grooming and indoctrinating children, give me a break. I became a drag queen because I don't want to be anywhere near children. If my friends have children, I think they're adorable. I can appreciate children.
Play with them.
But, like, do you know where you find a drag queen? At a gay bar at 2 a.m. There ain't no kids.
No. So absolutely not.
It's completely a, you know... They're just trying to redirect because we know who the real problem is in that. And I don't want to get too heavy, but it's kind of serious. Don't attack an entire...
You can do as heavy as you want.
But, you know, like, why are you blaming this community?
And also, this judgment is so unfair. Let me ask you, I mean, throughout your career and since you were a gay boy, have you been suffering discrimination? And has the society changes and so now people they embrace you because you know you have to you know drag is so mainstream now.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't have any discrimination or anything.
There's good points and bad points to it being mainstream, especially if deep down you're kind of punk rock.
Okay.
I want people to be a little shocked. Now it's like they look over at you and they're like, huh.
No, but your song
is fine.
But your song is pretty shocking for the main crowd, right?
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, listen, I think it's great. It's like anything. I think it's great that two men can walk down the street holding hands and nobody...
I think it's wonderful.
And nobody throws a rock at them.
Yeah, wonderful.
But you do lose a little, just a little something. And it's better that we don't get attacked. But back when it was kind of a secret society and a private club, and it was a little more artistic... Do you know, like, you had to be creative. Sometimes if I'm asked to do something and I'm not allowed to cuss, I'm not allowed to use bad words, I need to be more creative. And sometimes things get even funnier.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So back in the day when gay and drag wasn't as accepted, there was something strangely more creative about it. You know what I mean?
Like, yes, like, because they push you and you have to think other ways to...
Yeah, and like I said, it was more like a private club, you know?
But nowadays, when you perform, you don't go to private clubs anymore, right? Because it's pretty open.
Oh, I do everything. I'm like a prostitute. Whoever gives me money, I show up. You know, brunches, which is like 90% straight women... gay clubs, dance clubs, we do theater, we do the Golden Girls, that TV show.
I read that you were very inspired by B.A. Arthur.
Yeah, B.A. Arthur.
B.A. Arthur. Thought, why give me a reason? Why were you so inspired by her?
She is just very intelligent and very dry and very funny. And she's also... tall and slightly mannish. She just seems like a tough broad. Like, again, another one of those loudmouth broads that I really gravitate towards.
And that's why you have a personality of her.
And I play her when we do it live on stage. And it comes so naturally. I have to talk like this. You have to give people what they think they remember. She didn't really talk like this, but this is what they think they remember.
So, and also, when did you transform your career and start writing for like TV, Fashion Police, and then the other one is Tripping the Rift?
Oh, yeah, that was a science fiction animated series a long time ago, and I wrote an episode of that. Yeah, I am proud of the fact that, I mean, in Hollywood, it's very difficult to get your foot in the door, especially if that foot is in a high heel, size 12. And so I'm proud of the fact that I never really, like, I do the occasional audition.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody will be like, oh, you know, will you send in a writing sample? But for the most part, I have not approached it like, please hire me, please love me. You know, like these friends of mine who are actors, they go on these like interviews and auditions, and it's so like, please, please. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, you know, and me, I'm like, I could care less. I'm going to do what I do. And then people come to my shows or they see something online and they're like, oh my God, this person's funny. So I'm proud of the fact that I just do what I do and they gravitate to me. I'm not begging for a job.
Wow.
Somebody says, oh, so-and-so wants help
but
writing.
But how did people know that you can write?
Because
you have to have, you know, at least one sample that people know, you know, one success, success before people will know that you can write.
Well, because they know I write my own show. So if they've seen the show or seen a clip from the show, or maybe somebody that works with them saw it. I talk about this all the time, and we've since had a falling out because of our political differences, but years and years and years ago, Roseanne came to see my show, and afterwards she was like, oh my God, you're hilarious. I want to work with you. And I've heard that several times, and they never call. The next day she called.
How wonderful.
Yeah, so I ended up writing for her, opening for her. Like, we were great friends, and credit where credit is due. So people hear about different things,
When did you learn how to do your makeup?
Well, it was...
A drag queen's makeup is really important.
It is.
And do you make your own dress?
No.
Who makes
dresses? I can't do hair and I can't make...
So do you do your own design and send someone to make it or...
Well, I have a friend who makes all my clothes and I'll go downtown LA and I'll buy fabric.
And then you go...
And like this fabric... It costs more for me to park my car in downtown LA than this fabric costs.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Like, Petalula outfit.
It's just very cheap fabric. But she knows my measurements and what I like. I like to pull it in here and have it loose in the back. Because if you are a big girl and you have a belt all the way around you, it's not cute. So she knows how to make it, and I just buy, you know, and I do like matchy-matchy, hence the hat.
So, but she made hats as well?
The hat existed, but she put the fabric on it.
And then, but from very beginning, you don't have the same person, right?
No.
So from very beginning, you go and buy?
Yes, you go buy stuff and you try to make it work. I used to go to Lane Bryant, which is like a store for big ladies. I used to call it Plain Giant. And I would buy like a nightgown, a short little like, you know, something
sexy,
to
like
sleep in. And then it had a matching bed jacket because I don't want to show my shoulders and, you know, then you have to shave everything. But then I would go buy feathers and have the feathers added to the sleeves and, you know, the bottom. So it was a little like customized, but no.
And then,
back in the day, I had no idea. My makeup was so bad.
So then you gradually evolve. Or how do you do even the first time? You look at a picture and then you try to do your makeup?
Yeah. And then you figure out that you have to shave your eyebrows off if you want to do this properly. And you learn what works and what doesn't. And like, I see these drag queens and they have these skinny little lips. And let me tell you something. Out of drag, I hardly have any lips. But you need to paint a big lip. And you need to have eyebrows that are higher, Like, everything needs really? To be exaggerated. Wow. Yeah, so you just learn kind of what works.
And but then, need... and then your jewelries, my God. God, how do you, you know?
Yeah.
You make your own jewelries or no. you...
Well, I, because you know...
Because you did make your earrings.
Well, this was a necklace or something.
Yeah, and you then did I, make your earrings. Yeah. You buy bits and then you transform it to earrings.
Let me tell you something. Living in Los Angeles is amazing because Santee Alley and downtown LA is all about the most amazing fabric and jewelry and accessories. So I feel bad for anybody... You know, I have friends who live in other cities and they're like, oh, it's nothing like LA. You can find anything and everything.
But your whole personality, your whole persona, from your dressing, from your style, you created it.
Yes. I think it's an amalgamation. And was it? I mean, it's pretty much just me.
Yeah.
Like, this is me. At lunch, I can be funny and entertaining. I mean, not like over the top, like, oh, shut up, you know, it's annoying.
No, I remember just I watched Dr. Jackie, very funny, how he dressed and everything.
Thank you.
So
well, the thing about Dr. Jackie is I specifically wanted, I thought if somebody's walking in to get therapy, I wanted to be the least nurturing, like everything I'm wearing is weird. And even the set is like brutalist and cubist and everything looks like it might hurt you as opposed to being like, oh, this is such a warm space. So I wear weird things that look like I'm, you know, just came from a satanic ritual.
So funny.
Like I just, you know, you're sitting down to, you know, get therapy and...
So, okay, talking about this Dr. Jackie... is an episode that you created?
Yes.
And you create it, and then you invite all your and all the other drag queens to come in.
A lot of drag queens, and comedians, actors, and actresses. Yeah.
And then you and how many episodes of that do you do?
We've done 2 seasons, 6 episodes per season. And I have to say, the first season was 90% ad lib and 10% scripted. Which made it very difficult to edit.
Yes.
And then the second season was the complete opposite. 90% I wrote. Oh, and then 10% like, let's have fun and you can ad lib and go off script. Yeah. And it's very, very fun. People can watch it on Out TV.
Oh, really? And which is more successful? Season 1 or season 2?
But I think artistically, I think both have their... you know, pluses. But I think the second season, we kind of figured out what we were doing. And we have such amazing guests.
It's funny. And then there was another one about queens. And then someone was asking you about who's the most generous queen and who's not the...
Oh, yeah. I think that was...
Yes, you see, I did watch everything.
You did your homework.
I did. Of course. Of course. Meeting you, I have to do my homework. Of course. And what is that? Because you were talking about who is the most generous queen and who's the, you know, you.
Oh, uh-huh. It was just one of those little online, like, it was quite they funny. Ask you 5 or 6 questions it's quite or funny something.
Because,
was it?
Yeah, quite funny because you are funny.
Who did I say is generous? Oh, Bianca Del Rio.
Yeah,
she really is.
And you said that when you go in and if you like a wig, she would just give you the wig. She would give everything to you.
Well, I play dumb now. If we're in a show together or she's backstage, I will be like, oh, this wig is so messed up. And she'll be like, get over here. She'll fix the wig. But yeah, if she has like makeup, I'm like, what is that? And then the next day she'll bring it to me or she'll take off a piece of jewelry and just give it to me. Well, she's rich.
Amazing.
She's really rich. Bianca Del Rio.
So let me ask you. You know, to have a successful career as a drag queen, I mean, I see that a drag queen cannot continue with a very long time with a career. Is that right?
Well, there is a little bit. That's one of the things about the popularity and the mainstreaming of it right now is like, you know, you do have your moment. You're on Drag Race. You tour a little bit afterwards. And the really good ones do rise to the top. But it takes a lot of work and you have to actually do something. Again, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but I don't find it that entertaining to watch a queen just move her lips. You could never go to a comedy club and hand, you know, the person a CD and say, just push play and I'm going to stand on stage and pretend like these are my jokes.
But I think a lot of drag queens is not just a comedian. They were just performing. I mean, just, you know, singing.
I know, but is this 1967? Like, no, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where you would be like, oh my God, that's a man. And they would pull their wig off at the end to prove that it's a man. That's a parlor trick.
That's like, a long time ago.
Would your material work out of drag? And is this just, you know, a bonus?
Yeah.
Like, this is just the high concept character, like Pee Wee Herman or Elvira. You know, like just a vehicle. Would the material work? Is it funny without all the drag, or is that your only gimmick? And like I said, can they pick you up and put you in front of an audience? Yeah. They could pick me up right now. I'm in a gay club on stage, and God's giant hand picks me up and puts me on a completely straight cruise ship. I could win those people over and make them laugh.
I know.
But
I
not
know.
Every drag queen can do that, because it's all about kind of cashing in on their TV fame. I know some queens that have been on Drag Race, and we've been on tour in Europe, Australia, and I'm like, what are you doing? You know, and then the tour is called Comedy Queens. And I'm like, so what are you doing tonight? You know, each queen only has to do 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the easiest. It's kind of hard in a way, actually.
Why?
I'm used to doing 90 minutes. Because, you know, like, what song do I pick? 5 minutes is a little difficult. It's like, here's this gorgeous guy. You've got 5 minutes with him. I want some time. But here's my point. I'd be like, what are you doing tonight? And they'd be like, oh, I'm just going to wing it. Like, that's what?
It? That's it?
Like, I wrote for Joan Rivers. You may watch her and think that she's just winging it because she's so good at what she does. She makes it seem like it's coming off the top of her head. Honey, she had 10 writers writing 10 jokes each. That's 100 jokes to choose from. Then she would pick 5 of the best jokes, and then she would blurt out 3 of them acting like it just came off the top of her head. You have to plan ahead. You can't just be like, oh, these people love me and they will let me get away with anything, so I'm not going to do any work and I'm just going to go out there and wing it. Tickets were $45, bitch.
I agree. Absolutely agree. And just personally, just want to ask you, how many weeks do you have?
Okay. I probably have like 30, you know, kind of big, colorful, really styled, amazing wigs. Done by Billy L'Amour. If anybody needs a wig, you can find Billy online. Also an amazing drag performer in addition to a wig stylist, which always kind of helps. If the person is a drag queen, they know, like, oh, this needs to stand up to this, this, and this. But I also have a collection of, like, weird little wigs that I got, like, at thrift stores. Like, short, like a short gray curly wig. I sometimes like to play funny characters. That's another thing, is I get bored. I love to do glamorous, but sometimes I like to do like a weird old lady, or like, you know, a housewife who's not very glamorous.
You like to play different character.
Yeah, I do. I get bored.
Yeah, and how many dresses do you have? A glam girl like
you? It's bad. It's really
bad. Shoes? Shoes?
Not tons of shoes, to be honest.
Not tons of shoes?
Well, people... Now I walk out on stage and I'm wearing flats.
Oh, yeah, because when before you,
know
you
old,
have to...
Do you know how old I am?
No.
I'm 61. So now I wear flats and I have a joke in my show. It's like, Jackie, why are you wearing flats? Because my feet hurt from paving the way, bitch. And if you make a joke like that, and I'm like, also, if you're looking at my feet, I'm doing something wrong. You know what I mean? So I'll let the young kids wear the high heels.
You've done it enough, right?
Well, the people who can't sing and aren't very funny and can't put a sentence together, but I'm not bitter. But I do have tons of dresses.
Tons of dresses.
Yeah, and not just dresses. I have a little storage unit behind my house in Altadena with racks of clothing for characters, like thrift store, you know, ugly dress, weird this, you know, country. So my friend Sherry Vine does a show called the Sherry Vine Variety Show. and it's the same out TV as Dr. Jackie. And no matter what we need, I've got it. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, you're going to play this woman who is at the county fair out in the country. And I was like, oh, I have the perfect outfit. It's this denim jumpsuit. Yeah. So
that means that you have a whole collection of 40 years? 30
Yeah, 35 years. Yeah.
And you all save up. And so at any time, you can just pick up anything. You can just wear
pretty much, pretty much. Wow. Now, I think I mentioned this to you. My very favorite movie is Carrie, the original from 1976. And the reason is because the moral of that story, the point of that movie is don't mess with the freak. You know, you never know.
Yeah,
be
exactly,
nice.
Exactly. Yeah.
So a friend of mine is doing a parody of Carrie later today. That's why I booked this to make the most of the makeup. Two birds with one stone. So I'm playing the mother, Piper Laurie, Margaret White. She's the religious, crazy lady with the wild hair. Yesterday, I was looking through my things trying to figure out what to wear, and I found like six different options and and the hair, and like, you know, I found a big cross necklace. I just hit the microphone. I'm very unprofessional. It's the caffeine. So I just, you got to be ready. And you have to be organized.
Of course, of course. I was watching YouTube, as I told you this morning, to learn more things about you. And then I find out most of these videos was like 16, 17 years ago. Why? Why don't you have any update?
Well, because I feel like I was a little bit of a trailblazer. Like, I was one of the first drag queens to do YouTube and make these song parodies and make music videos. And I've kind of moved on. Like, there's a way to monetize it, but you have to stay on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
it makes sense.
Everybody's doing it now. When I did it 16 years ago, I was one of only a handful. And we could be popular and it could get a million hits, but now everybody's making funny videos and everybody's, you know, rewriting songs. So I've just kind of moved on. I'd rather do a live show, you know. I'd rather do Dr. Jackie.
So funny, Dr. Jackie. Okay.
You have to pick where you're going to put your energy. And YouTube, I've done it. And
You're moving on. So, okay, what is the next chapter of Jackie Beats?
I have a lot of stuff coming up, but one of my favorite things is we're doing a show called Jurassic Drag.
Starring, I love it.
Starring four of the really legendary queens, myself, Sherry Vine, Coco Peru, and Varla Jean Merman. We did it in New York. We did it in San Francisco. We're trying to do a full tour. And we are going to be doing it at Oscars downtown in Palm Springs on November 1st, which is the first day of Palm Springs Pride. Wow. And it's the four of us, which is just kind of like, you know, it would be like Paul McCartney, you know, Mick Jagger, you know, David Bowie and Prince. It'd be like four titans of drag coming together for Jurassic Drag, and we make fun of the fact that we're old.
I love it. But, you know, getting old and getting still glamorous and fabulous is always a plus. You make all the women jealous of you.
Well, I don't think they want to look like a rodeo clown slash whore.
But it's not about how you look. It's about the attitude.
Well, I've said this before.
It's the attitude. This is why
a lot of people in show business are like, Jackie, do not tell people how old you are. But I need to do it because the kids need to know. There is no, I'm not doing high kicks. I'm not doing splits.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not doing acrobatics on stage. I may not wear the high heels. But fierce, fabulous, and funny has no expiration date.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And on this note, I want to thank you so much,
Jackie,
for joining the podcast. Big kiss.
From a distance. It was worth driving an hour.